Deuteronomy chapter 8. He was talking about Doe Jones, and I'm going to talk about wealth this morning and try to get a proper Bible perspective. It's one of those things that in life, if you pursue it too hard, you just might get it, but it won't be what you expected. Jesus said it's meant to be a byproduct. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So we're not meant to make wealth, riches, the number one priority of our life. It's meant to be a byproduct. Someone pointed out that the Spanish and the Portuguese both, they came to the New World before we did. See, Christopher Columbus wasn't from Northern Europe. He was from Southern Europe. And he got here in 1492. Well, our first colony wasn't established till 1607. Now that's over 100 years later. The Spanish got here first, and they were looking for gold and wealth. That was their primary objective in coming. But look how hundreds of years later things have turned around. We got the wealth as a byproduct. Our forefathers came seeking religious freedom, the freedom to worship and serve God, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And now we're the most blessed and wealthy nation on earth, while most of those people, Hispanics, live in poverty compared to us. So that's one of those things. If somebody said it's like that about happiness, if you make happiness the number one goal in your life, you're probably going to end up miserable. Do you know people who drink and take drugs? Oftentimes they're looking for happiness in a shallow sense. They want something to make them feel good immediately. And they end up in misery and poverty. And the alcohol doesn't really make them happy anymore. The drugs don't make them happy anymore. It's another one of those paradoxes where you get the opposite. As one wise man pointed out, what you do when you seek fleshly satisfaction, you get an increase in desire and a decrease in pleasure over time. See, the alcoholic, he's got an increase in his desire for alcohol. He craves it. He has to have it or he'll go to all to pieces. He increases his desire, but it no longer is a pleasure to him. It's just filling a hole in his craving and his desire. The same thing is true of the harlot and the pervert. They're seeking pleasure, but they end up just increasing desire and decreasing pleasure. And that's the same thing that happens if we make wealth our number one goal. We gotta have a Bible perspective, and there are dangers. It's interesting here in Deuteronomy 8, verse 9, God says He's going to give them a land of plenty. He said even He had put the minerals in the ground. He said you can dig iron and brass out of the hills there. I've put minerals there for you. It's an abundant land, land that flows with milk and honey. And God said, I provide all these good things. But He said there's a danger that comes from wealth. And He warned them beforehand. You don't have to backslide because you get wealth. A nation doesn't have to backslide because they get rich. But most of them do, unfortunately. I remember an old man there at Clayton Street Church of God many years ago. Well, I heard that he had said this. Different times, said he'd seen many people come into that church, sinners, poverty stricken. Their sin had led them to poverty because of their alcoholism and gambling or whatever it was, the vices. And he said he saw God bless them and give them wealth and then them backslide because the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word and they became unfruitful. He said he'd saw many people do that. But not everybody does that. And we don't have to do that. You know, it puts God in a tough spot, really. I heard one Jewish rabbi talking about the book of Job. And all through the book he said Job's complaining about God and the injustice of his situation. And the fact that the wicked are, Job said, you know, the wicked are blessed and here I am suffering. And he goes on and on and complains before God and said, finally, in the end of the book, God comes down and said, the point he's making, he says to Job, you think it's easy to be God? You try it.
Yeah.
You see, the problem is if you bless people, many of them will backslide and forget God. You know, you think it's easy, it's all cut and dried. Well, this person's good, I'm going to make them a millionaire. This person's wicked, I'm going to make them poor. But you try doing that, and you don't always get the results that you want. And God knows what's best. It's not easy. Matter of fact, none of us would want the job or responsibility of being God. He said, he come down, he says to Job, you try it. See if you can do any better of a job. And, of course, that's when Job said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You know, I've talked about when God abhors certain people. The Bible talks about the Lord abhorring people. Well, let's say God does abhor you. You know what the best thing you could do is say with Job, I abhor myself and repent. God abhors you, agree with him. Say, I abhor myself and repent. I'm going to change. Then I won't be in such an abhorrence. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and we'll start at verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He gives a couple different cautions there to the wealthy. Solomon agreed with this when his prayer was, Lord, give me neither wealth nor poverty. Don't give me either of those two extremes. Well, he got wealth and he forgot the Lord. But he said, his request was, he said, lest I be rich and forget the Lord. And I say, you know, who needs him? Who needs God? I've got my money I can trust in and rely on it. I can get everything I need in this world with money. And that's not entirely true. I was thinking about just this last week or so, different ones have talked about rich men who lost their health. Who was the Rockefeller was one of them. Howard Hughes. And they were two of the richest men in their time. Rockefeller, they said, was the first billionaire ever in the history of this country, probably ever in the history of the world, head of Standard Oil. But he lost his health and he couldn't enjoy any of his wealth and his riches. And then when he began to give it away, you know, I believe it was his, there was such a tension in him between his conscience and his flesh, between his spirit and his flesh. He was so condemned because he was raised very strict religious Christian upbringing. And in fact, he applied many biblical standards, and that's how he got a lot of his wealth. He was very frugal and very saving. They told the story, and one time a fellow was soldering, I'll just tell it as best I recall it, these barrels, I suppose that they put oil in, but it was these barrels, and he said, how many drops? And as best I recall, the fellow said, 40 drops it takes of solder on those barrels. And Rockefeller said, won't you try 38? See if you can do it with 38. Well, the fellow tried 38 and it leaked. It didn't work. But 39 worked. So they began to just use 39. But he was like that. You say, well, that's just a drop of solder. But it's a, what, 2.5% savings on solder for every barrel. And if you make thousands of barrels, you've saved a whole lot of money. And you apply that principle to every area of manufacturing as he did, and he was able to run the competition out of business. He knew how to get wealth. He knew how to be frugal and to save. And he applied those standards diligently. Doesn't it say something about he that's slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster? The Bible condemns waste. And I hate to wait. Well, he's talking about Dow Jones. What was he doing? He was salvaging things that others would just waste. That's just a junker. Get rid of that. But he was going and saying, there's value here in these junk cars. And I can cut two or three of them apart and put them back together and make one good auto. That's just the opposite of being wasteful, is salvaging something and everybody else says this is useless. And have made their wealth that way. Well, we had some Jews up in Middletown, Cohen Brothers. You know how they made their wealth? On junk. Junkyards. Salvaging and selling parts from those cars, and then when they got through selling up all the parts, then selling the scrap metal to the steel mill there, and they got wealth that way. That's a principle in God's Word. And sometimes God uses poverty to teach men. He raises them in poverty to teach them frugality. And then they apply that and become greatly successful and run the rich men that were born with a silver spoon in their mouth, they run them out of business. Sam Walton did that. There's another Sunday school teacher, a Christian man. He did that. He learned frugality. He learned there's always a cheaper way and a better way of doing business. And he was able to become a billionaire because of that. Applying that creativity to finances. But there's a danger. Solomon said, give me neither poverty nor wealth. Wealth, the danger is forgetting God, having an attitude, who needs God? Pride, as he said, your heart will be lifted up when you get this wealth. Pride is one of the great dangers for wealth. And it's a great danger for a nation that gets wealth to become proud and not to acknowledge God's the one. You know, different historians have written, said, America, the United States, they just had all the advantages. They had so much abundance of natural resources. Coal and iron ore and limestone is used in production of car. And all these minerals, wealth, tremendous natural resources. But who put that iron in those hills? And who put the coal in those hills? God did. And that's important that we always remember that. It is God that giveth thee power to get wealth. No nation, I don't think, ever in modern times, maybe in all of history, has had the advantages that we have had as far as abundance of minerals and natural resources. Abundance of fertile farmland. I mean, you gotta have food. That's one of the most, you gotta have, as he talks about, springs of water. I suppose, good air to breathe and good clean water to drink and food. Those are three of the most necessary things that there are. And America's had an abundance of fertile land, as here he talks about, land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. We got so much bread that we feed grain to the animals that most nations would never think of feeding their animals that, because that's prime people food. And we feed corn and wheat and barley and oats and these different grains to animals. I remember a fella told me that I worked with years ago. He said that he was an Italian immigrant, still had a heavy accent. He said after the war, food was scarce in Italy. He said they would allot us so much. He said then they'd give us a bale of oats or some other grain or wheat, and they'd give it to feed to our animal, our ox that we had to plow with. They still plow with animals. He said we would take that and beat the grain off of it and eat that ourselves and give the straw to the ox. They were desperate for food. Here in this country, we feed our animals better than what most people in the world eat. And it's a land of plenty. It's a land of surplus. We pay our farmers billions of dollars to set aside land and not grow anything on it. There are men, they tell me, there are men who have gotten rich on those programs. Because they owned a lot of land and they agreed to set it aside and not grow anything, and the government paid them hundreds of thousands of dollars to not produce anything. And part of the reason why they did that is they didn't have room to store it all. And they didn't want to build greater barns and more grain bins to store it all in. So we have an abundant land. But we need these cautions. Beware that thou forget not the Lord. Solomon also said, don't give me poverty lest I become bitter and resentful and hateful and forget and curse the Lord. That's the other extreme. That poverty, the temptation is to become bitter at your plight and become bitter against God. Feed me with food convenient for me, he said. I think the best place to be in is where most, probably all of us are, and that's the working middle class. You know, sometimes we may not like that when the alarm rings early every morning, we gotta go to work, but it's best for most people to be in the working middle class. They can't handle wealth, and a lot of people can't handle poverty. Poverty oftentimes leads to crime. Doesn't have to. You know, the liberals have made that excuse. They've said, well, if we just give these poor people food, food stamps and welfare and so on, well, then we'll cut down on crime because it's obvious there's a link between poverty and crime. But you know, it didn't solve the problem. In fact, they gave them all this and crime got worse in those areas. It's not the whole answer. Sometimes a poor person will say, well, I'm going to steal to get what I need to live. I'm going to sell drugs. I'm going to get involved in something illegal. I'm going to be a whoremonger, sell the bodies of women in order to make a living. Sometimes poverty leads to those kind of temptations, but not everybody that's poor yields to those temptations, and that's no excuse. You know, if you're poor, you don't have a job, begin to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He'll give you a job. And the other thing is, take whatever you can get. You know, I had some of my nieces working for me sometime back, and one of them was saying, well, you make all this so much money per hour, you know, why don't you pay us that kind of money per hour? I said, well, when I was your age, she didn't want to hear that, you know, I was working for $1 an hour. I worked for $1 an hour, the hardest work I ever did was baling hay. You know, you get up in that barn loft, it's way over 100 degrees with the sun beating down. You know, you learn what sweat and toil is. The hardest work I ever did and made the lowest wage. I said, well, that's where I started out. Said, give yourself another 25 years and maybe you'll be making a little more on the hour than what you are now. Take whatever you can get. That's a principle of God's Word. It'll lead you to something better. Because I'll tell you what, most corporations, and it was like this when I hired in, everybody I talked to was talking about quitting their job. They got some common sense. They don't want to hire somebody who has the attitude, well, I'm not going to work unless I can make $10 an hour, unless I can make $15, and then I'm just not going to work. They don't want to hire people. They want to hire somebody who will take what they can get and do the best they can with it, and then they can look at their record and say, this guy's got a good work. He works faithfully for minimum wage. He should definitely appreciate a job making more than that, and he'll be faithful in that. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Even Ruth, you know, she took what all she could find was gleaning grain in the field of Boaz, who it said was a man of great wealth. A lot of the great men of Scripture were men of great wealth. They got that way honestly and through labor and effort and gradually. You know, it's really God's plan. If we accumulate wealth, it's better to do it gradually anyway, not suddenly. I've told some of you about this book that I have, unless I've lent it out. I had it, and it was called Suddenly Rich. And it told a story, had many stories in it, true stories of people who suddenly became rich. And some of them, it was by different means, some of them won the lottery. Some of them were adopted, and unknown to them, they had a wealthy millionaire relative. And when that relative died, they went looking for them, and they found them. They didn't even know they had this relative. And they said, you've just inherited so many $1 million. And they went from immediately, that was the book. It was stories of people who went suddenly rich from poverty or middle class to wealth. And most of those stories are tragedies with few exceptions. Most of those people, years later, they look back and they said, I wish that never would have happened to me because it led to the end of my friendships. A lot of times it led to the destruction of their family. They couldn't handle it. Only a few people were level-headed enough. They stayed on an even keel. They didn't go hog wild. And they handled that, and it was a blessing in their life. You see, one of the worst things that could happen to you is for you to prosper and not have the character to handle prosperity. That's one of the worst things that could happen to a nation, to not be able to handle money. See, God's more interested that we have the character, we're going to know what to do with it when He does give us resources or He gives us wealth. We're going to know that we need to always put aside a portion for those who are less fortunate, those who are in need, to help others. We need to give alms. We're going to pay our tithes and give more and support missionaries. We're going to know what to do with it when God gives it to us. Worst thing could happen. And it's happened to so many. The prosperity, doesn't it say the prosperity of fools shall destroy them? It'll be the death of many a person.
Absolutely.
And the destruction of their soul.
Oh, yes.
That's why it says, don't hasten after riches. Somebody approaches you with a get-rich-quick scheme, tell them, no, you don't want to get rich quick. Usually it's just you end up a little bit poor. It's really ends up a get poor slow is the way it ends up. But they present it as you'll get rich so quick this way. And the answer is no, I don't want that. The scripture says wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. You know why that is? If you gather by labor, that laboring builds the character that you need to be able to handle prosperity. And so God wants us to increase by diligent labor. And that will build the character. We'll be able to handle it when we do get it. Then verse 14 said, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. One of the most important things to remember, and Americans should be the most grateful people on earth. They're the most blessed people on earth. He's saying, always be grateful to God for your wealth. That gratitude just naturally goes along with humility. You see, if you have a proud attitude, if a parent gives a child and they've always given them everything with no effort on the child's part, the tendency is to have a spoiled brat on your hands. And they're not going to say, oh, thank you so much, because they have the attitude, well, I deserve this. And I even deserve a whole lot more than what I'm getting. See, arrogance and pride does not lead to gratefulness. A proud person is not grateful and thankful. Stay humble before God and thankful to Him. We should be the most grateful people on earth. It might help us to visit some foreign countries, you know. And then you get the attitude, why, these people, what have they done to deserve this? And then furthermore, what have I done to deserve so much prosperity and blessing? Could help you to be humble before God and always be grateful. Your heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, it's interesting, what the most prosperous time in American history has been the last half century since World War II. Is definitely from that time on most prosperous time in our history. And what has America done? She said, God, we don't need you in our schools anymore. We don't need you in our colleges. We don't need your Ten Commandments hanging on our courtroom walls or in our school walls or anywhere else. Forget you, God. We don't even know if there is a God. And increasingly, a lot of people, they don't believe, if they believe in a God, they certainly don't believe in the God of the Bible. There's a lot of people who tell you, and most Americans say, oh, we believe there's a God, but they don't believe in the God of the Bible. They don't believe in a God who is a consuming fire. Knowing the terror, that's New Testament scripture, folks. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. They don't believe God's a terrorist, or He can be a terrorist, if that's what we deserve and that's what we need. They don't believe in the God of, most Americans say they believe in God, but they don't believe in the God of the Bible. Most of them will tell you they're Christians, but they don't really believe in the Christ of the Bible and the judgments that He pronounced and the rebukes that He had and the commandments that He gave. They have forgotten the Lord. He said, I brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage and led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, and droughts, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee and that He might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. You see, many would say, well, it's our superior educational system. But you know, we only have an educational system in the past, even. You know why it was? Because of Christian influence. You know why that they started education in this country? Because our forefathers said, we want our people to be wise. And the only way they're going to be wise is if they can read the Bible. That was the whole point of education when it started in this country. They wanted the people to be wise so they would elect wise leaders and enact wise laws. So they said, we want our people to know how to read so they can read the Bible. They wrote that, our pilgrim forefathers. And that's why we have an education system, because they believed in absolute value. They weren't moral relatives. They said, wisdom is better than folly. Knowledge is better than ignorance. And yes, wealth is better than poverty, everything else being equal. If you have the character and the ability to handle it. Otherwise, he said in verse 19, if thou at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord thy God. Remember the story of Solomon, when God said, I'm going to give you wealth. You know why He gave Solomon wealth? He said, Solomon, because you didn't ask for wealth, I'm going to give you wealth. Because you didn't ask even for victory over your enemies, I'm going to give you that too. But He said, because you asked for a wise and understanding heart to discern judgment, to lead this people, I'm going to give you all these other things as a byproduct. I think that's the most important thing we need to understand about wealth. It's meant to be a byproduct, not the main thing that we're seeking. And the same thing is true. God's incentive program is, He says, I've got heaven for the righteous. All this wealth, streets of gold, and so on. But you got to seek righteousness first. Even there, don't say, well, I want to go to heaven because of all the gold that's there. I want to go to heaven because Christ is there and wisdom is there. And I'll know even as I am known. And all those other things are byproducts. Amen.